Paul is writing about Abraham, who is the father of faith, and he says these words, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, what did he find? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has somewhat to glory, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward. It's not reckoned of grace, but it's of debt. But to him that worketh not, but only believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, then his faith is counted for righteousness." Father, we just give you praise and glory that our father Abraham is our father for one reason only, not because of blood, not because of the will of man, not because of works, not because of any natural or human reason, but because of a miracle called the miracle of faith, that knowing that he was ungodly, wicked, and that he not only did sin, but he only did sin, and he never did anything good, anything worthy of your eternal salvation. He could not earn it. He could not put you in debt. He could not obligate you to give him something for his merits, for he had none. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have taught us to be under this father, Abraham, who is indeed our father, and we are of Israel because of Abraham, by faith, not by blood, or not by works, or not by religion or piety or anything good that we've ever thought or said or done. We didn't even know what was good. We didn't even want what was good. We didn't even do what was good, like our father Abraham. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have taught us all things well, so that we might appear before you as ungodly men and women at all times and in all places, never having done good in the past, not being good or perfect, not even good, not perfect for sure, not even good, not even one good, no good at all. Thank you, Lord God, that you saved us entirely by your mercy, by your grace, by your power, by your pleasure, by your will, by your work. For it was your pleasure to give us the kingdom. It was your purpose to not count any of our works as good, but all of them as evil. Even the best ones we thought were best were utterly evil in your sight. And now, having received that good work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was not to do anything good at all, for he said, "The Father who dwells in me doeth the work." So therefore, it wasn't his work. Even his work for us wasn't his work for us. It was your work for us. And so we give you the praise, Lord God, that you have taught us the truth that has set us free. We don't want a wage, but a free gift. And we have received it. And we are children of you, our heavenly Father, and of Abraham, our earthly ancestor. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In the 16th century, a man named Erasmus was the greatest man alive. Everyone knew him. Everyone was familiar with this man. And he was noted as the father of humanism. So of all of the great men, Erasmus, born in 1466, born illegitimately, nevertheless he became a monk, became a priest, then he became a professor, and he became the most well-read, the most articulate, a scholar, in Greek, scholar in Latin, also a student of Hebrew. And because of that, everyone looked to him to defeat Martin Luther. Martin Luther was another great man. Erasmus admired him. He honored him, but he was 14 years older than Luther. And Luther was born in 1483. And they both agreed that the Roman Catholic Church was missing something. Luther considered that what was wrong with the Roman Catholic Church was its basic theology. In other words, it was wrong at the foundation. Erasmus believed that its basic theology was correct, and all that was wrong was its moral turpitude. All that was wrong was that the popes and the priests needed to be pursuing true piety. All that was needed was for them to discipline the wicked priests, those that were proud and who were not following the right way, and just to steer them in the right way or remove them. So he wanted a reformation of morals. Luther wanted a reformation of theology. One went to the basement, the other just simply cleaned up the house. But they both were on the same team: reform the Roman Catholic Church according to the biblical pattern that was found in the New Testament of the first century. Both wanted to bring the church all the way back, and everybody assumed that Erasmus was a Lutheran unless he could deny and separate himself from Luther, but he wouldn't do it. So the Pope, Adrian VI, the Emperor, Charles V, and the King, King Henry VIII, all persuaded Erasmus, if you're not a Lutheran, you say you don't follow him in all points, if you're not a Lutheran, then attack him. Make it clear that you are for the Roman Catholic Church. And Erasmus said, you know, there are many things wrong in the Roman Catholic Church, and I agree with Luther on many points. But there must be a point somewhere where you could attack him. Let me give that some thought. And so Erasmus finally read over and over again. He was very familiar with Luther's writings. In fact, for Luther, Erasmus was his hero. In 1516, Erasmus had brought over the Greek text from the East when the Muslims were taking over Europe. And they had gotten as far as Constantinople, overthrew it, and Christendom was over. The only thing that was left now was the West. And so the Pope was fighting to defeat the Muslims. But one of the things that came across was the text that the Orthodox Church had original texts that were written in Greek. And those texts came across, and Erasmus then translated them into Latin. He translated them, but kept the Greek text, and he wrote the first serious critical Greek text. When Luther read that, it changed his life, and he got set free. So he loved Erasmus. And a year later, he attacked the Pope, and Luther wasn't against that. Luther was not against that. Erasmus. He wasn't against that. He actually, good, I got another guy on my side who's read the original language. And Luther not only learned Latin, which he knew much of the scripture by heart, he not only learned Greek, he became an assiduous student of Greek, just loved it. But he also learned Hebrew. So he became a scholar well known also in Europe. And everybody wondered what this monk would do, what this now professor teaching at the University of Wittenberg, which was a small school, but it was beginning to get an international reputation. Students were coming from England, they were coming from everywhere to learn what Luther's insight was into the gospel, which he had gotten from Erasmus's translation, or his critical text of the Greek. And so Luther loved Erasmus and didn't want him to attack him. He actually said, don't get involved in this. And Erasmus said, don't worry, I'm not for controversy. In fact, my thing is not to figure out exactly what all the truths are. My thing is just to love. Just to love. So Luther, the big word for Luther was truth, and the big word for Erasmus was love. So I'm going to write that down. So truth is what Luther wanted. Speaking the truth in love, he knew that truth was first. I wrote trust. Truth. All right? Truth. So what he wanted was truth will lead us to love. What Erasmus wanted was, who knows what truth is? Truth is more difficult to get to. But one thing that's true is love. Let's just get love above all else. This is the world today. This is the world today. There is no greater battle than this one right here, 16th century. And it's so clear as it never has been again. This truth came out then in the 16th century, and all liberals follow Erasmus, and all conservatives follow Luther. Now, watch. They both shared and revered and loved the Bible, both of them. So here are two men that both agree that the Bible is the sole authority. Erasmus, not quite as dogmatic as Luther. But they both agreed the Bible is what's at stake. But Erasmus said, we both revere the Bible. We both honor the Bible. We both love the Bible. But our problem is, what is the interpretation or the sense of the Bible? Here's where our battle lies. Luther said, no, here's where our battle lies. We don't just disagree in the sense or the interpretation. We agree as to the Bible itself. Subtle. Very powerful. Now, Erasmus knew that the problem was that the Bible was not clear. Very first sentence of his book. He wrote a book called The Freedom of the Will. Okay? I'll write it here in Latin. De. Okay, and now he wants to say, I want to set the will free, and man has a free will. So he's going to write arbitrio, and he's going to write here libero. So libero, the free will, the freedom of the will. So this book I'm going to write is on the freedom of the will. That's how I'll attack Luther. Luther does not believe in that. So Luther, that was in 1524. He wrote this, 1524, just what the Pope wanted, just what King Henry wanted, just what Charles V, the Emperor, wanted. So Luther wrote a book 1 year later called De, and instead of writing libero, he had to write the opposite. So he wrote of the will, arbitrio. He wrote of the will, which is not free, but which is enslaved. So, servito, di servo arbitrio. Now, of the bondage of the will, and now the battle has begun. Which one will win? Is man, and this is so powerful. Before I even teach on this, let me ask you a question. How many of here, everybody should raise your hand one way or the other. How many believe that man has the freedom to do good? That's because you know I'm going to get you. No. Just, okay, let me put it differently, because I have to have some that disagree. How many believe that man can do some good? Okay, I got one. I mean, some good. No, not perfect, but just some good. How many believe man can do some good? Okay, I'll put it differently then, because again, I'm not getting enough customers. How many believe that before you're saved, maybe you can't do any good, but after you're saved, you can do good? Oh, come on. I know you believe this. I know you do. I've taught you well, but you don't believe what I taught you. You just know he said it, and he's very tricky. You all believe that man can do something good. You teach your children that. Hey, don't do that. That is not good. Everybody believes that. Everybody believes that. And so, of course, you can do good, and of course you have a free will. You have to have enough knowledge to know what's good. Then you have to have a will that wants to do what you know is good. And then you have to have the ability or capacity to do what you know you want to do, which you know is good. Everybody knows that. So Erasmus said, you know that all the popes, all the councils, all of the Greeks, all of the Latins, everybody that's ever lived believes that man has a free will. How can Luther say that man's will is bound, not only before he's saved, but even after he is saved? What an idiot! How could he say that? Surely after grace, after God has been merciful and kind. Okay, here's what he taught. He taught that before you're saved, before you get anywhere, the natural man, I need a better pen. The natural man, can at least know the good to some extent. He can at least want to do or will to do the good, and he can at least do the good to some extent. So I won't put perfect, but just at least the natural man can know, will, and do good. That would be called natural righteousness. Luther actually wouldn't disagree with that, as long as you didn't apply it to eternal things. So Luther would teach, yes, the natural man can know, will, and do good things in this world, but not for the next. You could not please God with that. Erasmus wasn't so sure. Erasmus actually believed differently. He believed that the natural man could know, will, and do things, even eternal things, and that although he couldn't be perfect, he could at least be good. So he could be good, but he couldn't be perfect. Not perfect. All right. So that's Erasmus's teacher. Luther disagreed. Now, but the saved man, the one who's been born again, the Christian man, God will look down and see how many have made, they haven't been perfect, but they haven't been evil. They've been good. And those are the ones that God would add grace to. So the Christian plus grace plus mercy could then know what is good, will what is good, and do what is good, because God would give grace to the good man. In other words, not perfect, but he's going to give grace to the good man. He wouldn't give grace to an evil man. So he believed that the natural man, before being saved, could know a little bit, but he couldn't be perfected, and therefore he couldn't go to heaven. So he'll be punished. But the Christian man, who's done as good as he could, then he has merited God's grace. So grace is not a free gift. Grace is a debt that God owes to a man who does the best he could, even though it wasn't good enough to save him. He did the best he could in this world, and therefore, even though not perfect, he still merited the grace of God. And with the grace of God and man together, they could cooperate. They could cooperate. God does his part, man does his part. God's part is grace. Man's part is that he did the best he could. So each of them working together, man's part, be good. Not perfect, but grace makes us perfect. Now, Erasmus admitted, I am not yet perfect, but I am trying to be what you'd call pious or love. He called that Christian piety was walking in love. So he didn't like to argue with Luther, and that's why he didn't want to write against him, because he believed that wouldn't add to Christian piety. It'd be better to let Luther get into these things that weren't clear. Now, Erasmus believed that the Bible was not clear. He believed that the Bible was dark, full of dark sayings, hard to understand, and that it was obscure. Obscure. So he believed that the Bible was clear only about love, but it wasn't clear about truth. You couldn't know too many things. There were mysteries in the Bible that you couldn't know. Whereas Luther believed that things about the nature of God and about man were clear. and he called it perspicacious. Perspicacious. That is perspicuity. So he believed that, yes, and not only that, it's not obscure at all. We are obscure. We are not clear, but the Bible is clear. So he believed that the Bible itself, not just the sense of the Bible itself was a light and truth. And therefore, he knew we could know about God, and we could know the will of God, and we could know not just to love one another, but we could even understand and get knowledge of God through revelation. So, are you with me so far? This is what makes the world today. Do not think that the 20th century or the 21st century, of which we're a part, invented anything new. Everything that man has ever thought has always been thought. Luther did not even invent this. There actually were Stoics who believed in the servo arbitrio. They did not believe that man had a free will. And Democritus, he was another one. So there actually have always been people, even inside the Roman Catholic Church, who believed that God had an arbitrary will and no one could question it. And others who believed that God was subject to reason. So they would argue about that. Erasmus believed that God had a will, but that it wasn't arbitrary. That will, or arbitrio, was subject to reason. So he was a man, and that's why he's the father of humanism. He believed that the natural man had a certain capacity that God built into him, and one of those things was reason, and the other was conscience. He had enough reason and enough conscience to be good, but not perfect. And God would then give grace to the man that was good, though not perfect, and count his merit, and then they could cooperate together so that he could move on into love. And therefore, though the Bible was dark and not clear and obscure about this kind of stuff, he wasn't about this kind of stuff. So you shouldn't worry. Let the Pope take care of things that are dark and so on, because you are not smart enough. And even the Pope really shouldn't dig into all those things. But Erasmus, who said, you know, I don't even try to understand things that are, you know, hidden. God has things that he hides. He just doesn't want to share everything. Luther said, I disagree. Even though God is a hidden God, everything is revealed, even in its hiddenness. Now you have two different views, opposite. Nothing at all that they're agreeing on. And Luther thanked Erasmus. Thank you, Erasmus. You have attacked me exactly what I want. Nobody else has put their finger on it. You have put your finger on the problem. Whether man has a free will or whether man has a bound will. Now, I want to define it for you. A bound will is that man is not only not capable of being perfect, he's not even capable of doing good, he is only capable of doing evil all the time. Before he's saved, while he's being saved, and after he is saved. He has nothing in him of good. See, this is so hard. That is such a radical, extreme position that any reasonable person could see Luther is wrong. Luther is not reasonable. That's not reasonable. And so that's why Erasmus is the father of the modern intellectual, university-trained mind. Is that man, the average man, is a nincompoop. The average man is just a rube and a bumpkin. The average man is just not up to things like government. That's just too refined for him. Let the emperor do that. Nor theology. That's too refined. Let the Pope and let all of his teaching magisterium take care of that. You are just a lowly priest, and you are just the lowly deacon, and below you is just the lowly people. All you need to do is do what you're told. Whatever the emperor asks of you, do it. Whatever the Pope tells you is truth, believe it. That's it. Can you see how beautiful and how simple life could be if you just go back to your Middle Ages when the Pope and the Emperor ran everything? Are you following me? Luther said, no, this will not produce the modern world, though he wasn't interested in the modern world. But he knew, no, we have to discover the true essence of what it means to be free. Christ hath set us free. The word of God, the truth of the word of God is what sets us free. Man does not have a free will. Never has, never will, ever. When it comes to the things of God. Of course, I could pick banana pie over apple pie. Well, there I had a free will. So he's not arguing about that. He's just arguing about the fact that, yeah, but before God, that doesn't matter. You're not able to be right with God based on your will. All right. Now, I want to give you the scripture before I even get into what they say and what they've written. I want to show you a scripture in Romans 4 that we just read. So let's look at it again. Now, listen carefully. What shall we say then about Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh? What did he find? For if Abraham were justified by works, if he could do a good work, in order to do it, you'd have to want it, and in order to want it, you'd have to even know what was good. So you'd have to know the good, you'd have to want to do the good and have a free will to do it, and then you'd have to be able to do it. So he said, if Abraham were justified by works, then he would have something to glory about, but not before God. That's amazing. But not before God. If Abraham had done a good work, then God owed him something. He worked 2 hours a day, he should get 2 hours pay. How many know that's fair? That's just. That's right. That's true. If you do something, you ought to be rewarded for it. But what if man never did anything and everything he did was evil? Then, of course, you wouldn't get a reward. That's what Paul's saying here. And that's what Luther was converted by. This converted Luther right here. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. In other words, he wasn't righteous. How many know that Abraham actually was a worshiper of the moon god Sin? It wasn't that the moon god's name was Sin, like our word Sin. It's just that happened to be his name. So the moon god was Sin, and Abraham worshiped Sin. It's a play on words, but it's a good way to remember it. So Abraham, when God found him, he found him in the temple of Sin. And as he came out, he said, hey, Abe, I'd like to talk to you. And so Abraham came over not as a good man doing good works. He felt that a good work was to worship Sin. So Abraham was picked just because he was ungodly. And so God, the godly God, the real God, the true God, come and met him at the front door. Hey, how's it going? Well, I've just been worshiping Sin. Wow. How's that working for you? It's up and down. It has its ups and its downs. It's okay, I guess. Well, here's the deal. I consider you completely ungodly. Well, you got me there. It's pretty much the case, yeah. I mean, even the sin god stuff's irking me a little bit. I can hardly, you know, keep it up, but, you know, I do my best. All right. Now, if Abraham deserved a reward, God would give it to him right there. But he didn't give him a reward for worshiping Buddha or, you know, going the eightfold Hindu way or for, you know, following Muhammad or any other god. He was introducing him to a new idea, and here was his idea. Let me tell you something. I got an offer for you that I think you might find interesting. But you have to be ungodly to get this. Okay, yeah, I'm open to that. All right, here's the deal. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will curse them that curse you. I'll bless them that bless you. I will make your seed great. I will bless all the families of the earth through you. I will. Seven times he made a promise to Abraham. Now, Abraham was waiting for the shoe to drop on the other side. All right, how much is that going to cost me? What do I have to do for you? I mean, the sin god's bad enough, but what's your deal? That's it. That's it. Whoa! You're kidding me now. You're gonna give me a son and you know, all kinds of seed, and I'm gonna bless all the families. Anybody curses me will be cursed. Everybody bless. Oh, go over that again. Now, what part do I have to do? Nothing. Just believe. I'm a believer. You mean I don't have to do anything? No. Do I have to change? No. Do I have to want to be good? No. Wow. I'm taking it. So you see, Abraham, this is what the Bible just said. If Abraham were good, then God owed him something. But it said, not before God. any work that Abraham did, God did not count, but he counted one thing, that he did nothing good, and he accepted God to be the only good. God was good. That's the only thing. Now, here's what the Bible says. Only God is good. Now, Erasmus thought man not only could know the good, but he would want to do the good, and he'd be able to do what he wanted to do so he could do the good. Now, so does he know it, does he want it, and does he do it? Modern education is built on that. That if you just teach man that drugs are wrong, then they wouldn't want to do it, and they wouldn't do it. You just teach man that war is wrong, then they wouldn't want to do it, and then they won't do it. That's the whole key to modern education. Everything you're learning on television or anything else, everything you're getting everywhere, the brainwash is coming. You can know what's right, you can want to do what's right, and you could do what you want to do. There's the modern world. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Because I'm training you the opposite way. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You never knew what the will of God is. You never knew what was good. And you never will, ever, ever, at any time. Number two, you do not have a free will, and you have never used your free will to do anything that pleases God. You have used your free will, if there were such a thing, to only do evil constantly. Number three, even though you don't know what's good and you can't want to do what's good, you didn't do what's good. You have only done evil continually. Isn't that amazing? Now, which one is right? I'll tell you, there's nobody that could believe that nonsense that God just spoke, except Abraham, the father of faith, who believed that the only goodness that he had was a goodness that wasn't even true. It wasn't Abraham was good. He counted him as good, but he wasn't good. He was ungodly. And God justified him because Abraham believed that God could justify the ungodly and make him godly when he wasn't. Now, Abraham did not think, once he makes me godly, then I can do godly works. No. Once he makes me godly, then he will do the good works in me because I'll be dead. Do you see what faith is? Faith is not what people think it is at all. Like, well, it's give me a good start. Now I can do something good. No, you never did anything good. Not only did God forgive you for never doing anything good, for doing everything evil, for doing everything against him, you never thought one good thought. You never had one good emotion. I did. No, you didn't. Not according to God. According to you. But you see, it isn't scriptures that's not clear, it's you. You know from the time you've been a little kid that you've done good. Little kids will come home and say it, Mom, I was good today. I got a star. The other kids were bad, they didn't get a star. That is powerful. How many know that everybody's taught that from the beginning of time? It's been the same. But the problem is, you didn't check with God. Only God is good. Only God knows what good is. Only God has the ability to do what he wants to do and always does what he wants to do. That's free will. The purpose of you having a free will was that then you would only want to do the good. How many know you don't have that yet? How many know you still don't have that? Even though you say, I wanted to do good, I just didn't do it. No, you didn't even want to do it. You did what you wanted to do, which was sin. You're still worshiping the moon god, sin. Here, oh moon god. You know. And so, you're pathetic. How many know that all the Bible's trying to do is one thing? It uses the law to expose you. It does not use the law to tell you what to do. Hear the law. Listen to the law. I'll just say it so simply. Well, in fact, I've taught it to you so many times. What does the law say? Be perfect. I'm going to say it exactly as it says it. In the Hebrew language, it actually says, you shall be perfect because, for, I am perfect. You shall be perfect because I am perfect. I'm going to ask you a question. Is that an imperative or an indicative? Is that an imperative? Is that a command or a promise? You shall be perfect because I am. Or, you shall be perfect because I am perfect. Which is it? To the flesh, it's a command. And that kills me. Because now I wasn't. To the spirit, that's something I could believe in. I'll trust his promise. So commands, you don't believe, you obey. But promises, you don't obey, you believe. So what is God's will? That you do right or that you believe him who does right? Number two. Right. Do you all see this? It's so powerful. This made the modern world, yet today the modern world is Erasmus. It's no longer Luther. The modern world today, Erasmus won, Luther lost. So it seemeth. I want to tell you something. It actually isn't true. Actually, Luther still won. Why? Because Luther decided that man was only evil continually and that nothing good could ever happen unless God did it, but God will do it, and God has done it, and God will continue to do it, and he's always winning, and he never loses. So will Al-Qaeda, will the Al-Qaeda win? No. Will, the Bilderbergers win? You know, whoever is out there who's the bad guy, and could be you, whoever it is, you're not going to win. You can't gainsay God. You can't argue with God. Whatever God has said was going to happen. And whatever he didn't say is not going to happen. So he's already told us the truth that'll set you free. As though you aren't good, God is good, and God, if he wants to, and he does, he can, behind his back, at any time he wants, even though you're ungodly, he can show his mercy and forgive you. What makes God God is his ability, his prerogative, his right to show mercy to whom he will. There's the one thing, if God wants to show mercy to a good man, he could, but there ain't any, according to God. So, now he only has one choice. He has no choice in this. He could show mercy not to a good man, because there ain't any. And why would you show mercy to a good man? Because he was a good man. You wouldn't need mercy, give him the debt, pay up. But God never pays up. It's always with God, mercy. Why? Humbles you. It humbles you. I hate to admit that I'm bad. I hate to admit that I'm taking a free gift. I hate to say I ate the cookie. But that's the truth. And anytime God wants to, he can and he will and he wants to. And now he won't force you. You are not forced. You're free on this. He wants to give you, and he gives it to any man that wants it. He doesn't predestine you. Calvin taught that. Calvin was wrong. He doesn't predestine you. He foreknows you. He knows what you're going to choose, but he doesn't make you choose it. He doesn't create you, which Erasmus thought Luther was saying. Wrong. Luther was not saying that God creates both good and evil, and he makes you do evil. No. He just simply said, here's the tree. Remember, he put the tree, and he didn't hide it off to the side like this one. He put the tree right in the middle of the garden so you'd walk by it every day, and he said, walk by this tree every day, but don't eat of it. That's like putting candy on the table for a little bitty kid who's, let's say, 2.5. And he said, don't eat that candy. And now they understand that language. Don't eat candy. You know, and they're looking at it like this, but they're not going to eat it. No, they are not going to eat that. But they just keep coming back to that candy every day because it's right there in the middle of the garden where God put it. I will not eat candy. I'm not going to eat the candy. I'm just getting real close to it, but I'm not eating it. So that kid will look around to see if its parents are watching. And if the parent happens to leave the room for a few minutes and says, and by the way, don't you touch that candy. Don't you touch that candy, he will say to himself. Don't you touch that candy. I'm not touching that candy. I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to touch that candy. And I'm not going to eat it for sure. I could just pick it up, though. That's touching, I guess. But there's nobody looking. And pretty soon, that child is going to not only smell it and lick on it, but he's going to swallow the whole thing. There's no question. If you put a cookie or a cake or anything, sooner or later, you put it right in the middle like that and then leave the house. Say, I'll be back in a few minutes, and I don't do anything while I'm gone. You just leave, and that child's going to eat it. Why did God put that there? He didn't make the person do it. He just didn't give him a free will that would do what was right. Do you hear me? Now, the point is that God didn't make him do it, so he didn't have to eat that candy. He just did, and then the law comes along and said, did you eat of the tree of which I told you not to eat? Remember, God came back in the garden. And God should have stayed in the garden so they couldn't eat it. Should have put a big iron thing around it or something so they couldn't reach in, you know, just maybe a fence like that. They couldn't quite get it. But God didn't. He left it right out in the open. How many know that God knew by his foreknowledge Adam and Eve would sin? How many know that he knew that? And he knew so would his kids and his kids, kids and his kids, 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 kids. All the way down to us. Why did God do that? Why didn't he just hide it somewhere, put it under a bushel or something? So God's whole idea was, I'm not showing you my heart. I'm not, listen carefully. There's a big difference between Luther and Erasmus. One is head and the other is heart. Luther said, what I'm learning from God is that he has a heart. He will show mercy anytime he wants to. But he can hold it back until you've sinned. And when you've sinned and you know you've sinned and you see your sin, and he said to Moses, Moses, the natural man knows that he sinned when he sins. How many know that a child knows when they do wrong that they did wrong? And that you come to him, you say, did you eat that candy? Where is that candy? You didn't eat that candy, did you? I mean, no, children just lie. Now they've not only eaten the candy, they've lied. They not only ate the apple, but they put fig leaves on to hide. Now you got two sins. And then you directly confront them. Did you eat the candy? And by the way, I raised my children this way. I mean, I deliberately put stuff right there so that they would actually, you know, be tempted. I didn't tell them to eat it. I told them not to eat it. So my words were clear. But I had mercy behind my back, which they didn't know about. And I made all kinds of threats and so on and so forth. And I wanted to be clear. When you eat that, that is wrong, bad. You understand, Dad? And they did. They meant it right then. They meant that. I don't want to get a spanking. But as soon as I left, as soon as we were gone, what happened? They ate it. All right? Now, here's the issue. Does God have the right, when someone breaks his law, to supersede it with his mercy? How many believe that God has that freedom? His will is not bound. He can do good. And here's what he considers good. He doesn't consider it good that he puts the tree there so you eat it. That's not what's good. What's good is when you eat it and then you see it. And that's why he sent Moses. He sent Moses not to stop you from eating, but to expose the fact that you are overeating. You are eating something he told you not to eat. Remember, he said you can eat of all the trees except this one. Now, he didn't go into the part that they ate all the other trees. He only said, why did you eat this one tree? Has anybody ever done that where you went to school and you got good grades on everything except one, and the parent doesn't even discuss the other ones that you did good on, but just that one? That's the kind of parent I was. But what is this B minus right here? Dad, look at all the A's I got. Don't I get my $5 for that? Yes, yes, you get that, but why did you get a B right here? You could have had another $5. Well, Dad, could I get praise for the other ones that I did? And kids, they don't want to hear the negative. How many know we don't like to hear the negative? We want to hear always the positive. But God is trying to tell us something. You never did anything that I told you to do, and you did everything I told you not to do. Now, however, here's my response to it. I will kill Jesus for you, and then I'm going to give you not only salvation, free gift, I'm also going to give you the Holy Spirit that will help you not to sin. So it isn't you that'll do a good work from now on. It'll be Christ in you through the Holy Spirit doing good works. So you won't get credit for birthing yourself. You won't get credit for saving yourself. You won't get credit for transforming yourself. You won't get credit for anything. It'll just be a free gift. How many know how good God is? I'm telling you, this is so powerful. And yet Erasmus, who was defending the Roman Catholic Church with all its merits and so on and so forth, he was defending this system. He probably wanted Luther to win. He did not even write in a serious way to destroy Luther. Luther even said that. Du bist nicht fromm. You are not serious. You're calling me a stupid German, but really, you're not even serious. You're not even really trying to attack me. You're just stating the obvious. You've written nothing new. You stated what's always been stated. And Erasmus knew it. He didn't want to attack him. He didn't want to stop Luther. He did not. He did what his bosses told him, but he wouldn't really stop Luther. Do you all understand this? Erasmus's heart was for him, but his head was against him. Oh, the awful religion that is a religion of the head without being a religion of the heart. Oh, what a parent will do to punish a child and withhold the heart. You know, it's only the heart that punishes. When God punished his people, it was not to destroy them, it was to destroy their confidence, but not them. If I were to criticize my wife, it wouldn't be to criticize her as a person, but only the deed. Only the deed. Do you see the difference? God hates your sin, that's why Jesus is there. But he loves you, and that's why he has offered you free salvation. And he'll make the tree good, which is you, believing. The tree is not you doing. The tree is you believing. The doing is the fruit of that tree, but you didn't even do it because here's the tree. I'm not believing in Jim. I'm not believing in a new Jim. The new Jim is Jesus in me, Jim. I'm believing in the Jesus in me. And therefore, the works that come out, I didn't do them. Now listen, Jesus said, one guy came to him and said, good teacher, use the word good. What did Jesus say? None is good. Why do you call me good? None is good but God. So they said, well, yeah, but you did good stuff. Everything you do is good. You're perfect. And he said, the Father who dwells in me doeth the works. Even Jesus didn't do a good work. Jesus at no point said, I did a good work. What he said is, the Father who dwells in me doeth the good work. I'm just doing my Father's will. I'm never doing my own will. I'm dead. I'm not doing my own account. This is all for you because the Father said, I want you to go down there and die for them. Then I want you to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's exactly what he did. Never did his own will. Jesus did no good work. He got no reward. Jesus didn't get us as a reward. Did you realize that Jesus, all he wanted to do was please his Father? He said, I always do what pleases my Father. Isn't that powerful? Did you know you could do that as long as it isn't you? Let me put it this way. Did you know that Christ in you could do that? That you could please the Father, not because you did anything, but because you did nothing, but you allowed him by your death. In other words, you didn't allow it. By your death, he did it. And you agreed to it. You said, yes, let it be so. You didn't make it happen. You didn't even prevent it from happening. You didn't do anything good. You didn't do anything good. It's just you believed. And believing has things that accompany it, things that accompany salvation. What does it mean? It means when the good works come forth, you don't take credit. You just simply say, yeah, that's what you get when you believe in God's goodness. So the fact that my marriage works is a testimony, not of my allowing it to happen, not of my doing it, not of my anything, except believing that God is good. I have a good marriage because God is good. We have a good church because God is good. Everything that's happening in the world is due to God. Isn't that amazing? To God be the glory. So everything is to glorify God. Now, there's a whole bunch of scriptures that Erasmus was going to quote, 100 scriptures at least. I'll have to count them, but there's at least 100. He uses 100 scriptures to say, you see, God is trying to get man to do something and to will it. That proves the will of man is what he's after. And he quotes one scripture after another, after another, after another. But he admits there are other scriptures that go against it, and he says, seems to oppose it. Seems to. But even I can read Erasmus and see all the scriptures he doesn't want to quote, or that he quotes only the last half and not the first half. I myself, without even Luther, without even reading Luther, I could myself say, Yeah, but what did you do with this scripture? What did you do with this scripture? What about this scripture? He deliberately, not stupidly, ignores them. Doesn't want Luther to be right because King Henry won't be happy with him, the Pope won't be happy with him, and he always wants to please everybody, including Luther. His whole idea is, let's just get along. It's like our new president. Let's just all get along. Okay, it's great. But you know what? You're not only not going to please a whole bunch of people, you're not even going to please the people that you want to please. He'll end up pleasing nobody. I'm not a prophet. I'm just prophesying. I'm just going to tell you right now, it can't be done. Even the Bible says you can't do it. You can never be thought well of by all men. When all men, beware, it says, when all men speak well of you. You can't pull that off. You don't have the ability to get along with everybody. How many know that not everybody likes you? I mean, it's because a lot of people know you. That's one reason. But even if they didn't know you, even if you know you were a phony and a fake, they still don't like you. Now, the good news is this. You ain't God, but God is. And God is good. All right. Now, let's read again, because I want to go over this fifth verse particularly. But we're going to start at verse 4. Now, to him that worketh, if you did a good work, is the reward. But it's not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, you didn't do a good work, you were evil. But believed on him that justifies the ungodly, the evil, the bad one. His faith is counted for righteousness. Now you say, well, his faith was a good work. Faith is not a good work because only God is good. The reason why he has faith, that he's justified not by works, but he's justified only by faith. Justified, that in the Greek is dikaios. I'll write it in Greek. Dikaios. Dikaios. He is justified by faith. Okay? This man over here would say that this Christian was a good man without Christ who got the grace, and so he wasn't justified just by grace, but he was justified because he did as much as he could do, though not perfect, and then he got the grace to perfect it. And because of that, so he wasn't really justified by grace, but actually by these works right here. This was the good he did, and then he got God to do this, and they cooperated together, and that's how he got it. So he does not believe, and he even writes that clearly. I do not believe. Luther, from first to last, he wants God only to be good. Exactly. Because there isn't any but God. How many know that if your marriage makes it, it's all God? But it will make it. It will make it. Why? Because God loves you. The whole issue in life is getting right with God. The whole modern world denies that. The whole modern world is here. It's not here. But the modern world is wrong. So there needs to be not just Al-Qaeda. That's not our problem. Our problem is Christianity itself. Not just the Catholic version, but the Protestant version. Not just the Protestant version, but the Pentecostal version. All versions. You cannot do anything. You don't need to. Jesus has done it all. You remember when he was on the cross, what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. These were good Jewish people. But they don't know what they're doing. They don't know, so they don't have knowledge. And they don't want to, so they don't have free will. And they don't do. You know, there's nothing a man can do to save himself, transform himself, change himself into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, body. There's nothing you can do. It's a free gift. And God reserves to himself the right to just give it as a free gift. He just brings it out, and then he only picks people that are ungodly. In fact, if you're a godly person, let's say over here is an ungodly, here's an evil person over here. The good news is not only not for the guy that did good, but it's only for the guy that did evil. The ungodly, that God, you have to believe that God, the Father, justifies the ungodly. Whereas Erasmus said, he won't do that. He will justify the godly. He'll only justify the godly. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. God will never justify the godly. First of all, there aren't any. But even were they, the only one he would do was Jesus. And that wasn't you, and he was perfect. But here, the perfect Jesus that he justified, that one said, God, I want you. The only reason I'm here is not for me to get a reward. The only reason I'm here is so that you can justify the ungodly. No cooperation at all. There's no cooperation. Because man can only do evil before he's saved, after he's saved, during he's saved, forever. Forever and ever. Why? Only God's good. Only God is good. The only reason you look like you're doing good is because you died. You died. You didn't just believe. One of the things that accompanies believing is your death. You're no longer a self. You cease to be good. You cease to believe that you're good. You cease to want to believe that you're good. You cease all of that. And you just let God be God. That is the key to the modern world. And even though this group may be small today, this is the group that will prevail. This is the group that will not prevail. This is the Antichrist group right here, that man could be good. The Antichrist, after all, is not an evil, nasty, horrible-looking person. He's a person that looks nice. He's a savior. He's someone that the world will worship. They will follow because he's someone that puts you at ease. They say, oh, don't worry about being perfect. You're good enough just the way you are. Just the way you are. That was the way I was trained in school. I was trained that, you know, don't be hard on yourself. You know, it's kind of a psychological way. You know, no, you're fine. I mean, there's a little bit you didn't do, but don't worry about it. You know, what a wonderful message. Is that the good news? I thought it was. I now know it's not. The good news is there's no good in you. God only is good. So here it is. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, I am holy. Now, is that a promise or is that a command? Is that in the indicative or is that in the imperative? You can't tell in English, but in Hebrew and in Greek, you can actually look at it. And you can see, hey, is that an imperative mode? Or is that actually, is that in the subjunctive? You ought to. Or is that in the indicative? You are. Which is it? You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. The only reason you're holy today is by faith. And those things that accompany faith. But you didn't do the faith and you didn't do the things that accompany. You just simply believed. You were a worshiper of the moon god, Sin, like Abraham, your father. Oh, I pray today, I don't know how to preach this message any more clear. But to me, it's crystal clear. It's so clear. But that's because I'm not a good guy. I don't know what's good, and I don't want to do it, and I wouldn't do it even if I knew it and wanted to do it. I still wouldn't do it. That's me. But most of you at least think you know what's good, and you think you could do and want to do what you knew to be good. I don't. I think if I knew what was good, I would do the opposite. But most of you have been trained from the time you were little not to eat the candy that's on the table. I was trained to eat it and then lie about it. I totally, you know, just as soon as they turned the corner, grab that thing, put it in my mouth, you know, just walk away, knowing I lied, knowing I deceived. And then when somebody asked me, I with a straight face, nope, I didn't eat it. And I had no guilt. I had no conscience. I had no, you know, whatever. I loved doing that. I know most of you are not like that, but I was. And so to me, this gospel is really good news because I should have got it. I should be dead. I should definitely be in prison with Tommy. And the two of us, we should be in prison, Tommy. But thanks be unto God, he loved you. I don't know why he would love a person like you. But the same reason he loved a person like me. And you know what? You're all just like me and Tommy. Isn't that sad? I'm sorry. That's pathetic. But you know what? We have a good God. What's good about this is not us. Stop comparing yourselves one to another, the Bible says. Compare yourself only to God. Now, I'm going to read you a couple scriptures that will solidify this one scripture right here. Here's another one in Matthew, the 19th chapter, 17th verse. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. So there's only one that's good, God. Now here's some more scriptures. I love these scriptures. This is from the Old Testament mostly. Be perfect for I am perfect, or be holy for I am holy. Man at his best state, Erasmus, listen to this. Man at his best state, the Bible says, is altogether what? Man at his best state is altogether nothing. At his best state. He said, here's this man at his best state. That's the one God shows grace to. But God says, no, I don't. I never show grace to anyone at his best state. I only pick people at their worst state because that's the only state they have. Now, that should relieve a whole bunch of you. I wish there was a whole bunch of you like myself who would be relieved by that because I don't have a good side. Peggy knows that. I've never been good. I've never tried to be good. I never wanted to be good. I never prayed to be good. I never worked at being good. Even after being a Christian, I still don't work at being good. I just know one thing. God is good. And because I behold Him, I'm looking at Him, I'm being changed, but I'm not trying to change. And Peggy can say, you know, you look like a better husband now. But the truth is, I didn't do that. That just killed me because I'm so looking at Jesus, so gazing at Jesus, I didn't even notice that I did something good. Whatever you're looking at is what you become. The more I see the kindness of God, I become kind, but I didn't even know it. The more I'm looking at the goodness of God, I do good things, but I didn't even know it was being done. The more I'm looking at the mercy of God, I become merciful, but I didn't even know it. I'm just telling you, that's what the Scripture says, but it's actually my experience as well. The more you look at God, beholding Him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory. That is literally, literally. Now, Luther believed that the sense of Scripture was always the literal sense. Erasmus believed the opposite. He always looked for the historical, grammatical, literal, simple, common sense. Sensus literalis. Sensus literalis, the literal sense. Now, Erasmus always believed Scripture was unclear, it was dark, it was obscure, and therefore you had to find the spiritual sense. You know, the analogical, the anagogical, the mystical, etc., 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 allegorical, all those senses. So he was always saying, you can't even dig into all these, so let's just go with the moral sense, be good. Yeah, but that's the one thing man can't do. So he would read every Scripture to show that man could know what's good, could want to do what's good, and then would do what's good because he knew it. Opposite's the truth. Everything he said is a lie. And Luther thanked Erasmus. He said, I thank God you are the first one to nail it. You nailed exactly what the problem is right here. Man can never be good. Whew, what a relief and what a release. Now, please, I pray that a miracle took place today and somebody, maybe you never saw this for the first time, but you saw it clearer than you've ever seen it before. God doesn't want you to be good. He is good. He's the only one that's good. You can't add to His goodness. He's good for you as well as for Himself. He is the only good in the whole universe. So you can't get yourself to Him. In fact, you don't deserve to because he owes you nothing, but He just gives it to you as a free gift and just says, come follow me. Come follow me. Okay, before I get back to you, I'll give you some more scriptures. All His righteousness, that's me and you, is a filthy rag. That's the way God looks at your righteousness. What you call righteous, God calls it a filthy rag. It's a stench. Faith comes by hearing. This is New Testament. And hearing by the Word of God. So faith doesn't come by you doing something. It comes by hearing something that God did. When you rightly divide the Word between law and gospel, that's the same as soul and spirit. Soul is you, yourself. Spirit is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is in us to will and to do. So there is a free will, but it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's in you to will. So that's not you willing. And He's in you to do. That's not you doing either. You don't get any credit. We conclude, therefore, that a man is saved by faith alone and not by works. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, to him your faith, that is, it's a gift of God, your faith is counted as righteousness. Did anybody get set free? Did anybody? Did anybody see it more clearly than you've seen before? Tommy did. Thank you. Latrice? Peggy? Really? But you got helped in Dallas. Fort Worth too? Yeah, that is awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Who else? I want to see. Nick, what'd you get? More clearly. Anyone else? David, more clearly? Yeah? He says, you're freer and freer. You're not going to work hard to be good anymore. You're not going to feel bad when you do bad. Wow. See, that's powerful. So you know that anything good that happens is just a gift. And he loves you so much that he's going to give you that gift. And the more you don't try, the more you experience it. Powerful. Who else? Who else? You don't want to raise your hand because I'm going to quiz you. Who else? Over there. Praise God. It's powerful. It sets free. Because you can't be good. Everyone's telling you to be good. You even want to be good, but you can't be because you don't really want to be. So just relax because you have a Father in heaven that loves you. Amen? This is a free gift. It isn't what he's going to give. He's already given it. What he did there on the cross, that was for the ungodly. That wasn't for the godly. None of the godly got it because there weren't any. There aren't any. There never will be any. Is anyone else that got a hold of this? I know some of you did, but you don't want to say it. I know you did. Who else? Who else? You're set free. It's powerful. The whole world is fighting over this. Okay, for all of you that didn't raise your hand, did you already know this? Did you already know this? Show me if you already knew it. Ah, you're lying. You're all lying. I don't believe you. But I love it. I love it. That's good. You knew it as a teaching, but you actually didn't experience anything new. But praise God. Anyway, this in the 16th century was a gift. Only the beginning. It's not the end at all. It's just the foundation. That the theology itself in the churches today is wrong. Even the Pentecostals. If you check the Pentecostals, this means Assembly of God, you know, Church of God and Christ, all these. If you'll check them, you'll see that they believe in the will. That's what they always ask when you boil them down. They'll say things like this. I've gone to hundreds of meetings with them. They'll go like this. We can do it. No, you can't. Come on, let's say J. Give me a J. J. You know, and that's how they stir their people up to will it. And they feel because they all did a J-E-S-U-S or something and shouted. And they get their, you go to any of their youth meetings, that's what they do. But they do the same thing in the sermons. Try to get you to go all the way with God. Make that commitment. Stop the smoking today. You know, they just keep working on you. Okay, all right, okay. You throw those cigarettes down, you get up there. Ah, just, you know. Well, that's all play acting. I'm just going to tell you, that's play acting. That is not real. I'm fierce, I'm sorry. Because I don't want people to be fooled by man being good. Jesus Christ has done it all. And he wants you to know it's a finished work. Remember on the cross, he said it's finished. It's finished. He cried that out in Greek. Tetelestai! In other words, the end is already over. Tetelestai, it's the future of telos, which means the end. The end is here. It's over. And the devil was destroyed right there. He could no longer lie the lie of Erasmus. That's religion at its best. But here's the true religion. You don't have to be your best. Just be whatever you are. Let God be good. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. I could mount up 100 scriptures right now just from memory. I could go over and over and over again. But you need to know that God doesn't want you to make an effort. Don't be good because you can't. Stop it. Let God be good. He wants to be good for you, in you, through you. Let God do all that. It's too much for me. I just wear out right away. From the word go. Because here's his word. Be perfect. How about do the best I can? No, perfect. Okay, what if I do the best I can? No, perfect. How many know that he doesn't want you to do the best you can? Now, I'm not talking about child raising. When you raise children, raise them under the law. That's how they find out. That's exactly how they find out, well, I can't do it. Then you can give them the good news. Show them the mercy. Don't, when they're 11 or something and they start doing wrong, don't punish them. That's the time to show mercy.